All right, welcome back to Shakedown Chan. We are back in less than a week. Got lots of stuff going on this weekend. I have a wedding to go to. I've been doing a lot of things, getting ready for it. So as soon as the wedding happens, I'll have pictures and I'll be able to talk about everything I've been working on for you guys. It's really exciting. It's been really time consuming, and to be completely honest, very stressful. I woke up this morning kind of sick from the stress. I was weak. I was feeling sick. I wasn't feeling too good, but I'm just really stressed out. But anyway, we're back early, and since we're back early, I asked you guys what you wanted to hear about, because like I said, I've been like all of my time has been consumed for this project. So you guys really, really, really helped me out here, giving me some things to talk about today since we came back early. So first thing, I have a puppy, you all know, and I hate that I can't bring him everywhere I go. I mean, I definitely agree that businesses have the right to choose that they don't want dogs in places, but I feel like more businesses should allow well-behaved dogs and puppies. But that's just my heartfelt feelings. That was something I had to add in here. But I did hear that you can get your dog considered a service dog or whatever if they go through the training,
right,
and pass a test or something. And it's really, really easy. But I heard that they're going to start cracking down on that and like making it for people with life debilitating diseases and like stuff like that, which sucks, because like I think if you have a dog that can act well in the public, it should be able to be in public. But
you know what I don't like, though? I guess everything, I agree with the other people should have those. I know there's some people that have anxiety issues, mm-hmm, and having their dog with them. But I was shopping in a grocery store a month or so ago, and there were two dogs in the grocery cart and they said, the manager went over and said, you know, you really shouldn't have them in the cart because people put food in those and we don't wash. Yeah. And they said, no, they're therapy dogs. I have to be able to see them.
So put them on a leash.
I know.
Walk them.
See, I think that's wrong.
That is wrong to put them in a grocery cart where food goes.
I know.
But I just don't think it's right to crack down on I mean, if your dog can be a service dog and act well in public, it should be able to be in public. Either way, that's just my heartfelt thought on the issue, because I now have a puppy. I'm a dog owner. But anyway, so we had primary elections. We did. And guess who wasn't allowed to vote in them? Because I'm not a registered Democrat or Republican. I am a libertarian registry. Is that how you say it, right? I'm registered as a libertarian in the state of New York. And so New York policy goes that if you don't have your party representing you in the primary, you cannot vote, which I think is absolutely absurd. I should be able to vote saying that I don't want these other people in here, because primaries are, you've heard me say before, are one of the most important races because it decides who goes to the final elections. And the majority of people aren't allowed to vote in them, these other people are going to get to go to these final elections. So you have registered Democrats and Republicans voting because you have nobody else running,
right,
and supporting your party in New York. And you don't get to vote. You're left out. I think everybody should be able to vote regardless of who's running in the party, because you live here. So I also know Rick was not able to vote. He's a registered independent.
No party.
No party. So we were both not able to vote. And it's kind of sad, because
it is. And, you know, in some states, if you're an independent, or, you know, they call it no party, but basically independent, which is the largest growing group of voters, by the way. They're leaving Republican and Democrat parties and, mm-hmm, becoming independent. And the one of the drawbacks in New York State is you can't vote in a primary. But right. there are states that you can choose to vote in a primary. And, of course, New York State is always last to right. do anything that makes sense.
Right. Like so, we said before, we're 50th on the freedom scale. So.
That's right. That's right. They can charge more money for taxes, but...
but they can't let us vote
personal freedom,
charges
no.
us for taxes.
You're right.
Yeah, but there are definitely states that allow you to vote in primaries, but unfortunately, where we live in New York, that is not one. So, we have primary elections. I hope if you're in a state that you're not a registered Democrat or Republican, you are able to vote. And hopefully someday New York will allow that here. So I did want to talk a little bit about the topic of white privilege. So like I said, I asked you guys for what you wanted to hear. And this is what everything I have to talk about today, besides the puppy thing and the New York primary elections, is what you guys wanted to hear. So something came up about white privilege. And so this is my thought on white privilege. I think it's completely racist. It's like reverse racism. And it's really, people just throw white privilege at us to belittle us and make us feel inferior. And it's not right. I mean, if you really want to end racism, which was ended a while ago and then only came back up to the surface because of toxic media. White privilege really just creates more racism. And I think if you really want racism to end in this, quote, white privilege ideal, you shouldn't be throwing that around, because then that creates more of a divide between the races. And you guys know how I feel about it. I think race is totally not even an issue. Like, we're people, we're human beings. Really, like I said, the media just creates this whole race issue. And people play into it. And that's when you get race problems. You get the differences and everything. So someone was concerned about white privilege and about how it's racist against us. And I agree completely. People go up to speak in colleges and stuff. And you have people of the opposite race yelling white privilege. White privilege. You got the easy ride through life. And you have college all paid for you. And it's because you're white. And that person probably is so far in debt and student loans that he had to take out. And you have no idea. And honestly, it's not based on the color of our skin anymore, as much as the media wants you to believe. Mm-hmm. And just playing into that is only going to create what you're trying to get away from.
It creates more hate.
Right.
I think the part of the problem with today's... what do you want to call it? Hatred between Trump
races.
Supporters and you know, non. It's the press. They create every day. They say things, and a lot of times they're proven wrong, but they never admit it. And, you know, it's easy to get people riled up.
Right. And some other toxic media stuff that comes into play is we were talking before the show about this Maxine Waters issue. And the Democrats versus the Trump administration and the Republicans and all this good stuff. I'm sure you guys have heard about it. I'm sure you've heard about it, but maybe you haven't because you're not into mainstream media. I don't know how I heard about it because it was mainstream, but I ended up getting a whiff of it, and I went with it. So Maxine Waters is creating this huge, huge issue, and she's on the left, and, you know, I don't like to name call and everything, but the left is very hypocritical, as much as the right is. I mean, the right is very hypocritical as well. You've heard me, I had an episode called The Hypocrites, and talking about just all the hypocrisy in Washington. So I'm not here to say the left is more hypocritical than the right, but they're both hypocritical. But right now, what's in the news is you've got Maxine Waters and her supporters, and they are just rioting against Trump supporters, which, okay, don't get me wrong, I completely agree that you have the right to protest. You definitely have the right to nonviolently protest, and that's all good and whatever. And I do think places have the right to discriminate against who they serve, because they're a business, and you know, the freedom of association. So we have restaurants here refusing to serve Trump supporters and Trump administration and all that good stuff. And so the only thing I have to say about that is, okay, well, the left side is advocating for this discrimination against Trump supporters and Trump administration, but yet we had this huge, huge, huge outrage about cakes being made for gay people, and what was the other one? Had it on my head earlier.
What's that? I'm looking at the computer screen. What do you say?
They had the outrage about the cakes being made for gay people,
and then Sarah.
Oh, the people being thrown out of Starbucks.
Right.
And so the left had this huge outrage that non-paying customers were thrown out of Starbucks, which, I mean, how are you going to go into a business and use a bathroom without buying something and then be mad that you're thrown out? You're just looking to start a problem. And so then the left was outraged about them being thrown out of Starbucks. And now mm-hmm. the Starbucks employees, because Starbucks appealed to this outrage, were forced to take diversity training or something like that, or right. Training to be nice to people. I don't remember what it was called, but that's absolutely ridiculous. If the business wants to throw them out for any kind of reason, they have the right to freedom of association. Mm-hmm. And so you had the left outraged, but as soon as it comes to discriminating against the right, they have no problem with
that's
it.
That's right.
So they, I mean, I don't know.
Except in the Maxine Waters case, she was chided by quite a few Democrats.
Democrats, yeah.
And I mean, top Democrats too. She again called for harassing Trump White House employees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even after she was chided by on the floor of the Senate, she still is instigating harassment, which I think she should probably be censured for that, because what she's doing is she's stirring people up. And it's the same thing with Peter Fonda. I mean, if you said anything about President Obama or about a Democrat, like they're saying, like what Peter Fonda said. Now, you heard Peter Fonda last week said that it's going to be hard to bring up here. Oh, okay. He said that Donald Trump's 12-year-old son should be put in a cage with pedophiles as a protest against the president's immigration policy. Can you imagine a person saying, I mean, I can
That's
believe.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
That's a terrible thing to say, no matter who you're talking about. But either way, was he scrutinized for that?
No. As a matter of fact, he was defended by Hollywood and Democrats again, some of the top Democrats saying, isn't this a great country that you're allowed to say things like that and right. not be punished? Oh my gosh. Wishing that the president's son, a 12-year-old son, would be put in a cage with pedophiles. Of course, you got to look at the source. I mean, his sister was Hannaway Jane, who did a terrible disservice to the service men and women in Vietnam War. And now you got this nut. And if you're listening, Peter, you are a nut.
Maybe someday he'll listen. Maybe someday.
Saying things like that. I mean, and they think it's all right. That's what slays me. I mean, can you imagine if a Republican or an independent or a libertarian said something about that against a Democrat? oh man, I would never.
Oh, hell would come loose.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama is the Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Like we said before, he is, he's like God given to the United States.
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong in like a lot of people's eyes. And it's just incredible how the transition to the Trump presidency has sure. been. And how much under a microscope he's been. Why wasn't Obama put under a microscope? Why hasn't every single president been put under a microscope? They're all corrupt.
Right.
I mean, like I've said before, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm not a Trump hater.
I mean, he's trying to do good things.
He's in here. He's doing things that are different. But he also has failed on a few things, like going mm-hmm. to war with Syria, and I completely disagree with that. And but I mean, he hasn't run out of bombs yet, and I mean, Obama ran out of bombs. You've right. heard me say it 1,000 times.
But I mean, look at what he did, like North Korea the other day, canceled their annual protest against the hated United States.
Yeah, North Korea summit was something.
Right. And he's getting rid of his father's old-time generals who, you know, can't stand the United States, and he's getting rid of them. And, I mean, and that is amazing.
That is progress. That is progress.
And
like, I mean, it could just be North Korea all talking it up, but you never know. Like, we really don't know what's going on in Washington. We really don't know what's going on with world politics. And the best thing we can do is put every single piece of the puzzle under a microscope, not just one person, not just because there's so much hatred towards that person. But I mean, everybody needs to start looking at every single piece of the puzzle under a microscope. And the whole immigration thing, like when these big issues come out into the public, I always wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like we have this outrage in the social world right now about X, Y, or Z. But what's going on behind the scenes? I haven't looked into it yet. And I'm not sure how true it is, but someone had told me that while the whole immigration thing was going on, they dipped into the Social Security fund for the first time in 36 years. And I haven't looked into that yet, so I'm not going to talk about it yet. But like that just brings me to the attention of when you hear outrage about something, you need to look at what is going on behind the scenes,
right.
what they're trying to make you miss. And so I think every aspect of the state needs to be put under a microscope. And I think that's one of the best things that's come out of the Trump administration. But I wish it had come sooner
right.
that nobody puts Obama under a microscope.
But, you know, it's not only that, Shannon. It's what you have to look at. Why don't we know anything?
Yeah.
Years ago, the press reported the news. They didn't make it up. Today they make up the news.
Right.
So we don't know. We're in the dark about things because the press should be doing their job and investigating unbiased.
Like when we had muckrakers and we had real journalism.
Right.
Like when they brought out the atrocities of the meat industries and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I mean, that's the kind of journalism we need to have. Way, 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 way back when we had the Federalist Papers.
Well, yeah. But I mean, even as far back as Nixon with Watergate, I mean, you had reporters that Woodward and Bernstein that investigated that. I mean, they found out the details and reported it to the American people. And mm-hmm. I mean, see, it's things like that. That's why this thing with Trump and the Russian thing, they haven't found one thing. They've spent $17 million already.
There's so much waste on this investigation.
And they haven't found a thing.
Like, no. We have better things to worry about.
End it.
Better things to worry about.
I know
about.
It.
How many other people have gotten together with other countries or other people to do certain things in an election right. or to get dirt on people? Politics are corrupt. I don't know if you've seen House of Cards. It's one of my favorite shows, and I know it's like kind of like fictional, but I wouldn't put it past anything that Frank Underwood did to present day politicians.
Right. Well, my father was in politics, and I know that you can go in being the, not that my father was crooked because he wasn't in there that long, but, and this was city, but you go in being honest and want to do the right thing. And the problem is you have to play the game
to get where you want
to get where you want to get.
And it sucks.
And that's why these people have been in office for 30 and 40 years. It's because they play games.
Right.
And that's not right.
And I highly suggest you guys watch House of Cards because it really does show the games that they play. I mean, besides all the like the dramatic stuff that happens, a lot of the less dramatic stuff really does happen. I mean, I'm sure people get killed because of politicians, but I'm not going to go as far to say that just because I don't know. But all these other things that happen when Frank Underwood is in there and he's the whip in Congress and everything, and he's trying to get people to vote for his way, and it's just that I can imagine that that's what happens.
What goes on behind closed doors?
I mean, House of Cards probably isn't really that far out there, and it's actually, like I said, one of my favorite shows. I love it. But
they probably have consultants that worked in the White House and know how things operate. That's usually these TV shows. That's what usually happens. They have consultants that actually were involved in whatever the show's about. Mm-hmm. And so that show, to be realistic, and is probably somewhat true what happens.
And I know that they're not doing the show anymore because of the whole Kevin Spacey thing going on, and that's a terrible thing, but just so you guys know, I'm really sad that their show's going away because I was so into it. I would wait for it to show and I would binge watch it, and I'm not agreeing what he did was right. I'm saying that it's wrong and that I'm just sad that the show's going away.
Yeah,
but either way, okay, so we were talking about, I got on a tangent about House of Cards, but we're talking about Maxine Waters, and I do feel like businesses do have the right to discriminate, people have the right to protest, but either way, it's hypocritical of somebody from the left and so many of her supporters to be so passionate about discriminating when they were so passionate about not discriminating.
Mm-hmm.
So on the topic of discrimination, I did want to talk about restaurants, and they are deciding not to show NFL games. Good for them. I mean, if they don't believe in the protests and what's going on in the NFL, good for them. They have every single right to not show this. Mm-hmm. And people are outraged about it. I'm sorry. Go find a bar that shows the football games. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Or stay home
and watch it.
Get takeout and stay home and watch football.
So a little background on the protests, if you weren't really sure what was going on. Since 2016, some U.S. professional athletes have silently protested police brutality and racial inequality during the playing of the U.S. national anthem. Okay, so I agree that police brutality is going on, that it's happening. Police are overstepping their boundaries a lot most of the time. And but I don't agree with the racial inequality aspect. I agree that police take racial inequality, but I don't think that's going on in society, the racial inequality. Like I said, the white privilege thing. If anything, if there's racial inequality, it's against us right now.
Oh, definitely.
Not police wise.
No.
But like society wise. So I say that the NFL players have every single right to protest. They have every right to kneel during the national anthem, whatever they feel. However, the NFL has every right to fire who they feel shouldn't be a face, a public figure of their system, of their their name.
Right.
So if they don't agree with the protests, they have every right to fire people who are protesting. And I don't think it's right myself. Like, I wouldn't fire people for protesting if I was the head of the NFL.
Well, see, I would, and only because it's in the league's rules that you have to stand at the playing of the national anthem. So if you you know, sign a contract to play football for the Jets, mm-hmm. because they're my team. Well, there's league policies, too, that you have to follow, and that's one of them. So if you don't want to follow the policy, then maybe you should be fined, not let go. But I don't know. I see that's – if it wasn't a law in the rule book, in the policy book, then I can see they could do what they want. But I think the teams try to hold to a standard of what, you know, what they want to portray to the fans.
Right.
You know? So like it's in the book, then they should follow the rules. If it's, if it wasn't in there, I'd say the perfect. They could protest whenever they want. So I guess now what they're going to do is if you want to protest, you stay in the clubhouse. You don't have to listen to the national anthem.
The way I feel about it is, like we said last week, just because laws are laws does not make them right or does not make them just. And just because there's a rule in the contract that you signed doesn't make it a just rule. And the fact that they're saying you can't protest the standing at the national anthem doesn't make it right. But like I said, I do feel like the NFL, because they are a business, has every single right to fire whoever they feel, and they have the right to make those rules. But I do feel like the players do have a right to decide that those are unjust. But there are consequences to it. And unfortunately, being fired from the NFL is a consequence of that. And so maybe in the future that won't be a rule. But for right now it is, and if you get fired because of it, that's the NFL's choice, and they have every single right, but you have every single right to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also, like I said, feel like restaurants have every single right to protest showing the NFL games, and I hate that people are getting outraged about it. And so, yeah. Like, why are we so upset about football? There's so many other things to be upset about.
I know, really. Hey, you know, just to get back to the story you had before about the Sarah Huckabee getting actually kicked out of the restaurant. The the owner of that restaurant was removed from the like what we have here is the downtown business. She was on the board of directors, and she was removed from the board of directors.
The Chamber of Commerce?
Well, yeah, they call it the Lexington Board of Directors. So it's the city's Main Street Board of Directors.
Okay.
So it's probably our version of the Chamber of Commerce.
Because we're so spread out.
Right. Yeah. But they asked her to step down, and because it's bad for business. I mean, at least there's some smart people that, you know, think what she did was not, you know, what the city stands for. So, yeah. So that was a positive thing that came out of that.
Right. And, I mean, you have every right to tell somebody you're not serving them, but I honestly think that it's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because these people not supporting the Trump administration were so outraged about not serving other people.
Right.
So be consistent. Part of libertarianism is consistency. And if I feel like you have the right to protest, and I feel like you have the right to discriminate against serving somebody for whatever reason, I think that somebody else that doesn't agree with me has the right to protest and discriminate against serving people for any reason. And I would love to see consistency on all sides of the spectrum here.
And nobody getting hurt.
Right. That's and nobody getting hurt. And yeah. Nonviolence. You can protest with nonviolence. So that has to go with discrimination. I do have something here about the NFL restaurants. I'm not sure if it's worth reading to you guys. There's a whole bunch of like pages printed out here with links. And I don't care. Okay. It was just like two pages talking about a restaurant discriminating against NFL showing. Okay, so Supreme Court cracks down on government snooping through cell phones. This is a major, major deal. The Supreme Court decided that no, it's not right that we have these sneak peek grants to the government that they can just spy on us through cellular data. And everything that happened post 9/11 with snooping around and people that don't deserve to be snooped around on.
Right.
It's an invasion of privacy. And we talked about that before. And so anyway, Washington, a deeply divided Supreme Court, once again defended digital privacy rights Friday in a decision with implications for anyone who carries a cell phone. The justices ruled 5-4, so it was a tight ruling, that police need a warrant to access data from mobile service providers that show where an individual has traveled over weeks, months, or even years. So before, I believe it was Obama that put it into effect that you did not need a warrant to search mobile data.
Right.
You did not need a warrant. It was some sneak peek act. I can't remember the exact name. But the opinion by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was joined by the court's four liberal justices, follows a long line of cases in which the court has reinterpreted the constitutional right to privacy for the digital age. Most recently, the justices ruled that police cannot use GPS equipment to track vehicles or search cell phones without a warrant. And I mean, this is a huge, huge thing for our liberty. The fact that the Supreme Court is saying, no, you cannot do this. And but unlike those unanimous rulings, Friday's came with four dissents from the court's other four conservative justices that ran for 92 pages. Three of them warned that the decision would tie the hands of police investigating violent crimes. Justice Neil aligned himself with privacy rights, but under a different theory. The case grew out of a series of armed robberies in Michigan and Ohio in 2010 and 11. To prosecute its case against Timothy Carpenter, the government obtained cell phone records that revealed his approximate location over 127 dates, placing him in proximity to four of the crimes. Okay, well, just because you have one bad person doesn't mean you can infringe on the rights of everybody else.
Right.
I mean, like I've said before, you're going to have bad people. But the freedom of the 99 other percent should not be infringed on because of that one bad person. I mean, there's more than one bad person. But,
right, right. But it's the minority.
Right. And so invasion of privacy should not be acted out just because you're trying to find a few people that may have been there.
That's Neil Gorsuch. By the way,
Gorsuch,
that judge, and you know, there's going to be other cases that come up because there's so many, not only cell phones, but there's so many devices that tie information together that they have to see. We lost our freedom after 9/11. I mean, we really did. We lost any right to privacy, and I think we have to reel back a little bit, you know.
People were just so willing to give up freedom and privacy and liberty after that event. And the state started grabbing it at every single chance we gave them to take it. And now it's really, really hurting us. And I mean, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And you can't let them do that. You just can't. You need to keep every inch of freedom and liberty and privacy that you have.
What's in the Bill of Rights, isn't it? The right to privacy.
Right.
The right to bear arms.
I mean, we were founded into a country that was supposed to be small, very small, limited government. And it's not that anymore. And people ask me why I don't feel so patriotic about our country. And I say, well, I would if we would go back to what it was founded on and what our founders believed in. They believed in liberty, freedom, the pursuit of happiness, and property.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, our government has grown so big that it's not that anymore. And we wave flags supporting a country that's mass murders people and steals rights away from its citizens. We're supposed to be the land of the free. We're really not that free.
Remember, I was in a discussion with somebody on Facebook today about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we have to stop it and somehow be realistic enough to maybe redo our immigration policy. But, you can't have people flooding over like this. And pretty soon we're not, it's going to cost us so much money. And he said, they don't teach civics in school in the U.S. and they don't teach in Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico. They don't teach what it would mean if you came into the United States illegally. But, they did teach civics when I went to school.
They don't anymore.
They don't anymore. They don't. And I think that's why a lot of people don't know what our country, they should read the Federalist Papers. That, like you were saying, they should read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We don't get that anymore in school. What are kids growing up supposed to know about our country?
They learn what the establishment wants public school to teach.
Yes.
And I'm so against public school. It's unreal. And if I could homeschool my child, I would. Unfortunately, New York makes it so hard for working parents to homeschool that he has to be in public school, and so he gets that curriculum. But he sends things home about Christopher Columbus, and he sends things home about the Martin Luther King Day or whatever. And he was like, "Oh, he's a doctor," and like. He was Dr. King, yes, but that's not what it meant.
Not a medical doctor.
And
right.
So there's just so much misinformation that he's getting in school, and just sometimes not even misinformation, but not enough elaboration. I feel like curriculum's really dumbed down.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we say it's advancing, and he's doing a lot of things that I would have never been doing in the first grade, and now he's going to second grade, so I can't even wait to see what that's like. But yes, it's advancing in some ways, but in the history aspect, it's being dumbed down a lot, and there's just not a lot of elaboration. I mean, young kids remember, mm-hmm. and they understand. They tend to understand a lot if you talk to them about it. And so we have, public schools, they're federal establishments. And so the state is telling them what curriculum to teach. And I actually just heard that Little House on the Prairie is being pulled.
Yes.
Which I don't know if you've read it, but I read Fahrenheit 451. And banning books is not a good idea.
Matter of fact, they had an award named after Laura Ingalls Wilder for a person that wrote, I forget what kind of book it, like a children's book, and they pulled that award and they've changed the name to People's Choice or something like that. I mean, yeah, we're getting, it's scary how we're
banning books is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already a banned book list from the curriculum to begin with in public school, and now that I'm seeing books being banned in my lifetime, makes it even more scarier. Little House on the Prairie, they're saying, is racist. Okay, well, even if it is, you should be allowed to read it, and if somebody wants to identify that aspect in the story, they should be able to. When I started college, I took American literature, and I was reading Columbus's diaries. I was reading so much early American literature, and I was pulling out different aspects of it. And it was really crazy that I never learned any of that in public school. And I think it's crazy. Like I said, I read Fahrenheit 451, where they banned and burned books.
Right.
451 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature that paper burns, or that book burns. And book really, the ending of it, it's insane. I mean, the government, the society that they lived in, I mean, we're getting to that.
Right.
And I keep mentioning 1984. And by George Orwell, and people keep all the podcasts that I listen to reference Orwellian society all mm-hmm. the time. And I'm always like, yes, 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 yeah. We're so close to that. So many people just have never read 1984. They don't know about the story that George Orwell created. That's really our reality, what it's becoming. And It's crazy to have read these books, and this is what we're coming into.
Right. Well, you know, the sad part about it is that no matter what book it is, if it's racist and it was written 100 years ago, those were the times. It's history. It may not be good history. I can't imagine Laura Ingalls being a racist, but I just can't understand why they're doing this stuff. I mean,
you should be able to read books.
Right.
There should be no ban on books. And we learn from books.
We learn from books. But and to your point, they're dumbing down our kids because we're listening to what the government wants us to teach them.
Right.
They don't teach penmanship anymore.
No, they don't.
So
they don't know his handwriting. We're losing. If
pretty soon they won't be able to read anything handwritten. I think it's 75% of students that go to community college to have to take remedial reading mm-hmm. and math. I mean, that's sad. You don't learn that in school.
Right. I believe, I think like 3 years ago, it was a statistic. I'm not sure what it is now, but 62% of Americans are illiterate. And that's scary. I mean, a lot of that 62% is voting, and mm-hmm. you have to read when you're voting.
Yep.
And just they're illiterate, and it's crazy to think. And public schools they're advancing in math and science, but they're dumbing us down in simple basic skills of reading and writing. And it's really crazy. I mean, I see so many kids out on iPads. They know how to identify a YouTube app, but they don't know how to type in YouTube.
No. I know. And now you got this crazy thing that all you have to do is talk to it, and it tells you what, you know.
YouTube.
I know, really.
technology is great. Don't get me wrong. I love technology. I love all the advancements that we have. But, I mean, you have to take it with what's that? You eat things in moderation. Moderation. Right. You have to take it with moderation. All these things are coming out, but like you can't just rely on it because, I mean, it is technology. It could be here today and gone tomorrow.
Right.
These microphones could be here today and gone tomorrow. Who knows?
Right. If they're gone tomorrow, we have to do a show, so they can't be gone tomorrow. But no, I know. It's sad. I'm a lot older than you, but it's sad to see what Noah has to grow up in.
He has iPads in school.
And what?
Why am I paying for iPads in school?
Well, you know what the big thing was when I went to school?
What?
Calculators.
Calculators.
Texas Instrument.
Couldn't use.
Yeah, you couldn't use a calculator in math class when I was in school. And then a couple years later, they changed it. But it's the same thing. I mean, introduced technology kind of takes away your mind thinking.
It does. We had, technology is great, and it's great to learn how to use it, but you also should be taught how to not use it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great math teacher in high school. I was lucky to have her. Mrs. Love, if you're listening, this is about you. She would have us learn how to use the calculator, and then she would teach us how to do it without it. We did polarized graphing without calculators for a few testings. And she was like, I was in the Air Force and I had to fly to Antarctica and I had to know how to make it back without technology and using coordinates and blah, blah, blah. You may never use this in your life, but if you do, you know how to do it. And I mean, I couldn't do it today, but
But
it was
I mean,
great to learn just because I'm not in that field. I'm never going to use it, but I'm sure I know there are a few mathematicians that came out of that class, and she was a great teacher to teach us that there are multiple ways to learn something, and she taught us the way to do it without calculators and technology. We learned so much graphing it without calculators, and it was absolutely amazing, and I hated it, but it was great.
But I mean, even if that took you down another path in your life and you always could figure out, well, there may be another way to do something, and maybe I should learn that way too, so that if one didn't work out, you know, you had something to fall back on. I don't know.
I don't agree with the schooling system.
No,
I don't.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And I don't agree with the fact that they have like reading levels for, I know Noah in the first grade had like reading levels, some letter through another letter. He'd come home and be like, I'm on level G or whatever. And like when he first started, like reading was super hard for him. It was just wasn't something that he understood or got. And now he reads amazing, but that's because we kept up with it. And I was like, you'll get it eventually. It wasn't something I pressured on him because I knew he would get it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned reading super, super early, but I was really passive about teaching him reading because A, I didn't know how to teach it to him because I got it in the flick of a finger. And he just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. It was frustrating to him, but I was like, don't worry about it. You'll understand it. And he was behind for a little bit in reading, but eventually he caught right up. And now he's reading chapter books, and it's awesome. The stuff he can read to me. He can search on Google things. Like he's like, ask a question. And I'm telling him like, you have the world at your fingertips. I'm like, look it up. You can find out anything you want. And that's the great thing about technology is that education is free. You can find out absolutely anything that you want.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine having to look up something in an encyclopedia?
I know. My stepmom brings that up all the time. She's like, well, when I was your age.
But I mean, yeah, I go downstairs to the computer and type something in, you know, and then go back up and watch TV, and I've gotten the thing that I was looking up.
Yeah.
But I mean, what did we do before computers? We had
like, I don't even know.
Big books, you know. But you know, one thing, you know, you talked about, we're talking about New York schools or public schools all over, especially in New York. I mean, you know, with this
the curriculum
thing. But you know what you did with Noah was good, I feel, about his reading, because if you pushed him to read,
he would have hated it.
He would have hated it and got frustrated.
He loves it.
And that would have been the way he was his whole life.
Yep. And I think it is terrible that they have certain levels that you have to be at.
Yeah.
I would have a conference and everything was good. He's a little behind on his reading though. And I'm like, okay, well, he'll get there.
Yeah.
Just don't force him. He will get there. Some kids read slower. And like I read super early. And so he's just going to read super late. But he caught right up. And it's good for him that he didn't give up on it. But it's because I didn't force him. It did become a chore.
Right. Or it was pushed on him.
Right. And so I think if you're struggling with your child reading, it's going to come to them.
Yeah.
It's going to come to them. Just don't force it. Try to get them to read as much as you can. But if they get frustrated, don't push it. And eventually it will come to them. And so the school system, like I've said before, it's all testing. Mm-hmm. Testing, testing, testing. Noah comes home, I got 100 on my test. I got 100 on this other test. And I'm like, really? You just had 4 yesterday. I know. I mean, he's
a lot
he
of the teachers don't like that either because
no, they
spend a lot of time in their day coming up with these tests, and they don't have that time to teach.
Right.
And they don't like that. A lot of them that I talk to don't like that at all.
It's the administrators.
Yeah.
And something about that. I know I've talked about Larry Sharp before, but Larry Sharp wants to get rid of administrators, which is not popular with administrators, obviously, but wants to get rid of administration and stop teaching for tests. And I think that's an absolutely great thing. He's like, Common Core has not been the best thing, but some kids do well with it. He's like, most kids don't, but some do. And if that's how your class is learning, you should be able to teach that way, but you shouldn't be forced to. You should teach how your kids learn. And I mean, seeing Noah do Common Core, he does excellent with it. And I'm sitting there like, how do you do this? This is not right. But not saying that it's not right, but it's just, it's not normal to my brain the way I learned it.
Well,
but he
different.
Does great with it. And so, like, I really rely on him to do his math homework himself because I don't know what they're asking him to do. I read the directions, and I'm like, why would you take 2 away from this number and then add X to this number to get the same number you would have got if you just took 10 minus 2?
Right.
And so...
I know. It's crazy.
You just do 10 minus 2, and it's 8. You don't have to do all this extra stuff, but he does it, and he gets it, and good for him. But some kids do well with it, and a lot of kids don't. And so, like Larry Sharp, I feel like it should be based on the teachers in their classroom and how they feel the learning is going in the classroom. And if they have a few students that don't do well with the situation, be able to teach them a different way. So speaking of Larry Sharp, I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this, but he has not been showing up in a lot of the, like, the early polling decisions. I know he posted something the other day that, like, the head of Siena College had posted, like, a pie chart of predicted polling of candidates for the gubernatorial race.
Right.
And he's not on it. He and another candidate from the Green Party, Hawkins...
Okay.
I can't read it. There's another word over it. Hawkins and Sharp were not put on the pie chart, but Larry Sharp has an incredible support base and a big following just because he's out here saying what people want. He's saying what the rest of New York wants rather than the city.
Yeah.
And it's crazy the following that he's getting.
Well, did he get an answer why...
No, he was asking his supporters to email the head of Siena College or whoever put out this report to ask to include him and the other candidate from the Green Party on there because they're also running to include all candidates and look into the research because that's going to change the pie chart dramatically.
Sure.
And it's just crazy that the media is not... getting to these people. A lot of America doesn't like third parties and they don't think they have a chance, which I think is terrible because I mean they really can have a chance. I mean it's hard to in a presidential election, but when it comes down to like state elections, it's easier. And that's where it starts. It starts in the state, and you want to change your state, you want to change local politics, like in your town, in your county. And then you want to change state politics. And then once you start changing state politics around the country, then you can make an impact on federal politics. But it really starts local. And so, I mean, this is a really, really big race. We don't want Cuomo. Nobody wants him.
Cynthia Nixon may not be that good either.
No.
But...
And I actually haven't heard about this Green Party candidate, and because he hasn't been in the media at all, I've not heard a single thing about him until Larry Sharp mentioned him, and I'm glad that he brought him up. Like, he's running against him, but yet brought him up and said, listen, my running mate is not being shown in polls either.
Right.
Like, what is going on?
Now, see, the biggest name in the Green Party used to be Ralph Nader.
Yes,
and he was always mentioned because of what he did back in the 60s with the Corvair car, you know. And he's supposed to be like a safety guy, but the guy was a kook. And but he ran under the Green Party every, you know. So his name was always mentioned. I don't know about in the polling, but, you know. But they should put every candidate that's running for office, right, even if they get 1%. That should be in that pie chart.
Like, how are you going to have a fair election if the people don't know who's running?
Right. Well, who's it controlled by?
In New York, the DNC. But
yeah, I mean,
unfortunately. But so Sharp and Hawkins are very, very strong third party candidates. They both have huge followings. And we just don't see anything in mainstream media about them. I see it all non-mainstream because I'm a non-mainstream media person. I get all this stuff. You know how Facebook's algorithms come in. They send me all the news I want to see.
Yeah.
And that's not all the news everybody else sees. So...
So what you would like to do is to have people contact the Siena College,
yeah,
or even like the local TV stations. So when they get their polling, you can ask them. When you get your polling, make sure that the third party.
Well, where do these two people stand? Yeah. Right, yeah. And so if you guys are Larry Sharp advocates and supporters, you should definitely contact Siena College if you haven't already. And let them know that there are other people running. You should also follow Larry Sharp's Freedom Base. He has a page called His Freedom Base. And has a lot of the campaign stuff going on and stuff in there. And so he really needs help. He needs support. He has a really good support base growing. He's got people coming out, like I've said before, that haven't voted in 10 years. That want to vote for him, and he's really up here trying to make a difference in the rest of New York,
mm-hmm,
rather than New York City. He's really fighting with the rest of New York against the city, as well as trying to get people from the city because he's from there.
Right.
He's from New York City, so he does have support down there, but I mean, a lot of the city supports Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all he ever does things for the city.
Right.
So, of course, he's going to have a lot of support. But Larry Sharp wants to do things for the entire state. Because New York and New York City are not separate states yet. Yeah, not yet. They should be.
They should.
But they're not. And so what affects them affects us. And it's not always... great.
In the best interest of up north of Westchester County. Yeah.
Coming from upstate New York, I can definitely agree to that. So, yes, Larry Sharp, I'm still supporting him, advocating for him, and I think everybody should check him out. And so I think running short,
about a minute, so, 2 minutes, minute and a half.
I did want to get to about the FDA approving the country's first medicine made from marijuana, but you know what? I'm going to leave that for you guys next time.
Okay.
And so thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all of your support, and I'll see you next time.